Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to our latest installment of Hebrew Treasures. Today, we're going to be discussing what is in the Cloud household one of our favorite Hebrew words, and that word is Shabbat, Shin Bet Tav. Because we understand that when Shabbat rolls around, we're going to have a respite from all of the craziness of the previous week. And that is, in fact, what it means. It means to stop, to cease and desist, to curtail all of that other activity, whatever it's been. We all have to work. We all have to engage in some kind of vocation so that we can pay our bills, so that we can have something to eat, so that we have a roof overhead. That's just part of life. And the Creator has given us 6 days to do those things. But on the seventh day, He says, Shabbat, stop, curtail that, cease and desist. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, this Hebrew word is one of several that has found its way into other cultures and languages and at the same time retain its original intent. For instance, if you're going to refer to the seventh day in Spanish culture, you use the word sábado. The Greek term is sabbaton. So interesting that this concept that's connected to this word Shabbat has found its way into other cultures. That's how powerful it is. Now, let me say here, I'm going to be tempted at times to want to go over into the concept of Shabbat. We're going to try to restrain from doing that because we want to focus on doing a word study. But there's no doubt we're going to get into some overlap here. And so that being said, the concept of Shabbat is first introduced to us in Genesis chapter 2. It says, Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now the word Shabbat doesn't stand out to us here, but it is translated in the phrase, and He rested. That term in Hebrew is Vayishbot, and it's spelled Vav Yud Shin Bet Tav. And of course, those last three letters of that term, Vayishbot, give us the root word Shabbat, to cease, to desist, to stop work. Indicating, at least to me anyway, that the previous 6 days, they do serve a purpose. As I said earlier, they serve the purpose of providing a time for you and me to engage in some kind of activity whereby we can pay our bills, we can have food to eat, what have you, all those things that we need to exist. But at the end of those 6 days, just like when the Creator had gone through and said, let there be light, or let there be a firmament in the heaven, etc. And then, of course, on the sixth day, creating man. At the end of that sixth day, He stopped. He curtailed that work, and He rested from it. Not that He was sitting around lounging on a couch somewhere, but that He stopped because now all those things that He is, all the activity that He's engaged in the previous 6 days is going to come into its fruition. Meaning that the 6 days that you and I work have a purpose, but for them to truly come into fruition, those things that we engage in for 6 days have to stop and give way to the greater purpose of Shabbat. Because Shabbat is a day that the Creator has blessed and set it apart. And it is blessed when it's functioning in its purpose, indicating that if I continue to work into Shabbat, then really Shabbat's not doing what it was designed to do, and therefore there is no real blessing that I'm going to enjoy. But when I do stop my work and I honor Shabbat the way it was intended, then there is a blessing there. What I believe that is to suggest to us is that all the things that we've done those previous 6 days, we're going to see the fruition of it in the seventh. We'll come back to that point in just a few minutes. But we do want to emphasize here that the 6 days, while they have their purpose, the Shabbat has the greater purpose. And so we could say this, that it's not the sixth day that is the crowning moment of creation, but it's actually the seventh day. Because again, that's when all the activity of the previous 6 days truly comes into fruition. And so then in a sense, by allowing us to rest from our work, We're following in the example that was set by the Creator. And when He rested from His work, and He abstained from all those other things, and then instructs you and me to do that, when we obey Him in that way, we're going to be blessed with favor. And what do I mean by that? That all of the stuff that we have done the previous 6 days, He's going to favor that. He's going to bless that. He's going to honor those things because we're walking in obedience to Him in regard to keeping His Shabbat. Hope that made sense. Now, we're told in the Scripture in Exodus chapter 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The word remember, let's focus on that for just a moment. In Hebrew, it's zachor. And zachor literally means more than just remembering something that you've forgotten. It is to suggest that you're going to testify on its behalf. You're going to do something on its behalf. And so when God remembered Noah, it wasn't saying that He forgot Noah was in the ark. It's just that now He's going to begin to act on Noah's behalf. Well, that's what we're being instructed to do here, to act on its behalf, to testify on its behalf. When we're working for those previous 6 days, one of the things that we should be focused upon is not just the work of that day, but that we should be looking ahead to Shabbat, because Shabbat is the crowning moment of creation. And that Shabbat is blessed. And so then again, all the things that we're doing for those 6 days, if we're honoring His Shabbat, then He's going to bless all of our activity of the previous six. And if we're being blessed, then that is going to testify on behalf of the significance of Shabbat in our lives and the significance of Shabbat as the Creator has ordained it. So again, we work during the week, but one of the things that we're doing during the week is anticipating and looking ahead to Shabbat. Because again, it's a day that has been set aside, it's made set apart, holy, and it's blessed. Now, there's something else here in the word zachor that we want to emphasize, and that's the initial letter of the word zachor, which is the letter zayin. Then Zayin is the seventh letter in the Hebrew alphabet, therefore it has a numerical value of seven, which then points us toward the seventh day of Shabbat. So when he says, remember the Shabbat, interestingly, the word that begins, or excuse me, that is translated remember, begins with the letter that points us to Shabbat. And something I thought was kind of interesting about the letter Zayin is that in form, it is understood to be a vav. And the letter vav is the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, therefore has a value of six. But it's the letter vav that has a crown atop it. Again, indicating to us that the Shabbat, not the sixth day, but the seventh day, is the crowning moment of creation. Now, the word Shabbat, or Sabbath, the first time we see it directly translated from Hebrew is in Exodus chapter 16. So let me read a few verses there for you. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil. And lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. So one of the first things we want to notice here is that this is given to us in relation to the manna, the bread that falls from heaven. And specifically that on the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. The term in Hebrew would be lechem mishnah, literally double bread. And by the way, this is where we get the tradition of having two loaves of challah on the table during Erev Shabbat. Because again, in the wilderness, he gave them a double portion on the sixth day. But he didn't give them the double portion on the sixth day so that they could eat twice as much. he gave them the double portion on the sixth day, so that on the seventh day they would be sustained. They would be blessed. They weren't going to have to go out and worry, how are they going to eat bread today? Because that's already been taken care of for them. Why? Because the seventh day is blessed. And if you enter into the seventh day in obedience to the Creator's command, you enjoy that inherent blessing. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, because He's going to have blessed the efforts of the previous 6 days, because you have given way and submitted to the greater purpose of Shabbat. And so therein we see the blessing. Now again, we see that in this particular verse, Shabbat is mentioned in conjunction with the manna. And of course, the manna is a picture of the Messiah, which then brings us back again to the fact that Shabbat is the crowning moment of creation. And here's how I make that connection. Because one of the purposes of Shabbat is to provide us a picture of a future time when all of our labors will cease and all of our work will stop, and when we will reside as one people under the kingship of the Messiah, residing in His dwelling place. In fact, there's a very interesting word that, even though it stems from a different root word entirely, it's spelled identically to the word Shabbat, Shin Bet Tav. However, it's pronounced Shevet, Shevet. And it means, in verb form, to abide, to dwell. If we put it in noun form, it would be a sitting, a seat, or a dwelling place. And this particular word shows up for us in a very familiar Psalm of David, in Psalm 133, which says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell," and that term is shevet, "to dwell together in unity." You know, Hinei Metov, a lot of you are familiar with that song. Well, it's taken from Psalm 133. But again, the word shevet, spelled Shin Bet Tav, is about dwelling. And in this particular verse, it's about dwelling together in unity. Now, we can look at that in a very general way. It's good for all of us to be able to get along, but let's look at it in a prophetic way, because Shabbat is a prophetic picture. It's the crowning moment of creation, but it's also pointing us to the crowning moment of all history. That is the great Shabbat, when all of His people are gathered together under the headship and the kingship of the Messiah. In fact, when it comes to this particular verse in Psalm 133, rabbinical commentary suggests that this is a hint here of a day and time when all of the tribes of Israel will be gathered together as one people, as one nation again, under the rulership of the Messiah. In fact, in Zechariah 14, it speaks to this issue. "And the Lord shall be king over all of the earth. In that day," and that day meaning the great Shabbat, "it shall be, the Lord is one, and His name one." And of course, this great day, this great Shabbat, is going to be the time when you and I are under the rulership of the Messiah, the one who was personified as that bread that came down from heaven, and on the sixth day as a double portion. But again, why the double portion? To sustain us through the seventh, to prepare us for the seventh. So that brings me back to this, that if Shabbat is the crowning moment of creation, hinted at by the letter Zayin, which begins the word Zachor, which is the letter that has the crown on top of it, and if Shabbat is a picture of the great Shabbat, when all of His people are gathered together as one under the rulership of the Messiah, then I could say this, that the Messiah is the crown of creation, because He is the one who has been given authority to gather all of the tribes, to gather all of His people, and to bring them back as one, to be ruled by Him. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 11 and Ephesians 2, we see that the purpose of Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection is to make the two one, to gather all those who were scattered, and to present them as one body unto the Father. Now here's another interesting word comparison. We're going to take the word Shabbat, Shin Bet Tav, and compare it to another word that's pronounced identically, Shabbat, but it's spelled Shin Bet Tet. And the reason that I find this interesting is because of what we just mentioned. Because the Messiah is going to bring all of the tribes back together as one nation. That's been prophesied time and again. Well, the word for tribe in Hebrew is Shin Bet Tet. So I want you to see these two words compared to one another. Shin Bet Tav, Shabbat, to cease, to desist. And Shin Bet Tet, tribe. And one of the examples of this is found in Genesis chapter 49, when Jacob is telling all of his sons, the tribes, what's going to befall them in the latter days. So when are the 12 tribes going to come together as one? When are we going to be one nation? When is the fallen tabernacle of David going to be raised up and restored as it was in days of old? Well, it's in the great Shabbat under the kingship of Messiah. So which leads us now to this point. That same word, Shin Bet Tet, Shvat, also means a rod, or it could be a shepherd's staff. Many times, they're one and the same. Let me give you an example of the use of this word. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 20. I will bring you out from the peoples and will gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead my case with you face to face. I will make you pass under the rod, and that word is Shvat, Shin Bet Tet, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And so the significance of this verse is, it's showing us that, or it's telling us about the time when he is going to gather all of his people. He's going to gather all of the tribes. But here, he's talking to them as if they are scattered sheep. And so he's going to gather all of his scattered sheep, and he's going to bring them together as one, and he's going to make them pass under the rod, Shvat, which is also seen as a shepherd's staff. And he's going to bring them into the bond of the covenant. So this shepherd's staff is the rod, and sometimes that rod is a rod of correction, because the Messiah, according to the psalmist, is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's found in Psalm 2. Also, this rod, and again we're talking about the word Shin Bet Tet now, is also viewed as a scepter. And of course, a scepter is that rod of authority that is placed in the hand of a king. And you can see a reference for that also in Genesis chapter 49. So all of this information brings me to this conclusion. The word Shabbat, Shin Bet Tav, the word that means to cease and desist from our work, to curtail that common activity, to submit to the greater purpose of Shabbat. The word Shabbat is a sign of God's authority. You see, the rod of Moses was given to him as a sign of the authority that had been invested in him by the Creator. And by the way, that sign of his authority is how he performed all the signs, according to Exodus chapter 4. So again, Shabbat, it means all these different things and all these concepts are tied to it, but as we boil it down, Shabbat is a word that is to convey to us the authority that is the Creator and His alone. It's a sign of His authority over us because only He has the authority to regather all of the tribes that have been scattered throughout all of the world. Only He has the authority to gather all of His people together and to bring them back together as one nation or as one body, the way Paul puts it, under the rulership of the Messiah. And therefore then, remembering the Sabbath day, observing the Sabbath day, keeping, literally guarding the Sabbath day, is acknowledging that the Creator, the one who has spoken the heavens and the earth into existence, the one who ordained the Shabbat, is King. And as King, He makes the rules. So then, to disavow Shabbat, to not honor Shabbat, to not keep Shabbat, to not allow it to function in its intended purpose, is to ignore his authority, or at the very least, to call it into question. Again, Shabbat is a sign of his authority. It is representative of the fact that he is the shepherd and we are the sheep, and we should willingly submit to his authority. Thus, he emphasizes for us that the Shabbat is a sign between he and his people. And by the way, those signs between he and his people are very, very important. So then, when the Messiah comes to rule and reign with a rod of iron, it's going to be really important that we are regarded as his people and the sheep of his pasture. I want to leave you with one other thought. First, I'm going to read some final verses taken from Isaiah 66. It says, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat or Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, didn't keep my commandments, ignored my authority. For their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." So what we see in this verse, among many things, is that number one, there is going to come a day when all flesh is going to regard his authority and his sovereignty, and they're going to honor his Shabbat. And they're going to be able to observe what happens to those who don't. We don't want to be among those who are regarded as an abhorrence to all flesh. So then, perhaps Shabbat, among all these other things that we've discussed, when it comes to the aspect of Shabbat where we are to cease and desist from our work, perhaps it also implies that if we honor Shabbat, if we do what he has instructed us to do, it's also acknowledging that we are ceasing and desisting from being in charge. We're stopping this idea that we have to be in control, and we're submitting to his rulership and his control and his authority. Maybe that's what the cease and desist is all about. But at any rate, I hope that you have gained something from this little word study about Shabbat. Maybe it's been thought-provoking. I hope so. Maybe it's been challenging. But I hope that you've enjoyed it. And I hope that you'll join us again next time when we do another Hebrew word study. We'll see you then.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BuildCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BuildCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.